I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So we'll talk about Deshaun Watson here in just a second. Adam Schefter tweeted something you pointed out to me yesterday, Seth.
That I don't even remember this. This is about to be a surprise to me. What is it?
With the Steelers turning to Mason Rudolph, the Giants turning to Daniel Jones, the Jets turning to Luke Falk, the QB youth movement is on.
Oh, this. Okay.
This week, at least 18 quarterbacks aged 26 or younger are expected to start. That hasn't happened in 32 years since week three of the 1987 season.
Which was the strike year.
Yeah, you pointed that out yesterday. Yeah, that the scabs, a bunch of young scabs were starting in week three of 1987.
Doesn't even count.
I asked my one of my experts out there in Vegas if there was any, you know, if there's any handicapping angle, you know, if there's any arbitrage to be found because of all this youth. And he said his name's Steve Fezzik. He's with pregame.com. He was a guest on my national show throughout the summer. He said the theory is that all these quarterbacks are prepping 365 days a year starting at age 15, such that they're light years more prepped and experienced than they would have been, say, 20 years ago.
Okay. So what's that? How's that factor out, though? Does that mean that all of a sudden young quarterbacks are ridiculously successful? I know we've seen Mahomes and, you know, obviously Deshaun Watson has. The problem was that 20 years ago, defenses were a lot simpler, too.
Yeah.
Everything's gotten more complex. So I think that they're more prepared in some respects, but that's a whole lot different than, oh, yeah, taking snaps under center, running play action, all that stuff. I think they're more prepared in some ways that reading defense is a little bit more natural for them. But then some of the NFL style of play is still different.
I guess my takeaway from that text, and I haven't gone back and forth with him. I got that when I woke up this morning.
Maybe it's not as big a drop off.
Yeah. Okay. My takeaway from that is don't go betting on a bunch of unders thinking that it's going to be this gigantic cluster bleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if these guys are going to win any games, but what he's saying is they're going to be able to get in there and run an offense.
You know what's going on in Arizona right now, which is really interesting. Because you think of, hey, they're going to run the air raid, right? Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, it's going to be fun. And they've moved the ball. Cliff Kingsbury has opted to kick field goals three times when it's been fourth and five or less, to the degree where that's one of the most conservative stretches of decision making when you're down in the scoring area to not go it on fourth down when he's really in close. I can't remember what the yardage is, but it's whatever the stat is. It's one of the most conservative stretches a coach has ever had in the NFL, which isn't what you'd expect out of an aggressive guy like Cliff Kingsbury.
No, so, not at all.
I mean, they're very close. I wonder if part of it is he just doesn't trust his offensive line there. The hard part about running the air raid in transferring it to the NFL is there's some rule changes that make it more difficult. But when you get into the red zone in particular, it gets a lot tougher to create some of those mismatches with tempo and everything else because there's just less space.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to ram it in there. Sometimes you just got to use blunt force trauma. And I don't know if the personnel on that team are quite ready for that. It's not that the scheme is bad or anything. It's just they don't have the Jimmys and Joes to do the X's and O's.
Yep. So you actually posed this question. Is Deshaun too good under pressure for his own good?
That's what I wonder.
I'm going to ask you to explain yourself on that one. It would seem to me that there's no such thing as your quarterback being too good under pressure in the NFL.
I think he's too good under pressure to the degree that he tempts fate a little too much. And that's where it doesn't lead to interceptions necessarily, but it's when he extends plays and he takes hits that otherwise he could just throw the ball away. I think there are times where, okay, Tom Brady knows his limitations, and there's times where if there's nothing there, he might extend the play a little bit, but he's either going to throw the ball away or make kind of an intentionally inaccurate throw that's a safe throw and get rid of it, but not necessarily get crushed. Deshaun has been crazy good at delivering strikes when he's getting hit, and that's what makes me nervous just about his long-term health. And it falls in line with everything else we've been talking about. But I do think there's an element where no matter how good the offensive line gets, Deshaun's going to take a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have to accept that And Bill O'Brien has talked about this. A bunch of the advanced stats people have talked about it, that some quarterbacks simply take more sacks, no matter how good the offensive line is. And I think Deshaun's going to be one of those guys. I just hope over time that he starts to pull it back a little bit. And I think with a more consistent offense, that's one of the things that I think they'll be able to start doing.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is that the quarterback hits that he takes, that, yeah, some of it's a product of a bad offensive line, but some of it's a product of the guy is just supremely confident and he's willing to stand in
right.
and take hits because he knows he can still deliver the football in an area where his receiver's going to get it.
This is the stat. So this is since 2017, and mind you, Deshaun was injured for a good chunk of this time. Since 2017, only Phillip Rivers, Russell Wilson, and Tom Brady have thrown more touchdown passes well under pressure than Deshaun Watson. He's thrown 17 touchdown passes well under pressure. Among the 40 quarterbacks who've attempted at least 100 attempts well under pressure, Watson ranks first in yards per attempt, fourth in passer rating, and fourth in big-time throw percentage. He's just clutch. He's clutch when he's under pressure. And I think one of the exceptions would have been that near Jalen Ramsey pick in
yeah.
the game, because he was under pressure and that there was somebody in his lap on that throw and that caused the errant throw.
Yeah, you know, like I guess what I would say is that for every one of those where it could have been picked off, Will Fuller has one bounce off his chest earlier in the game. Like those things tend to even
right,
out over
right.
time.
Yeah, no, and I'm yeah. not. That's what I'm saying. It's notable because it is the exception.
Right.
The other thing that concerns me after the game against Jacksonville was that in this New Orleans game, he actually did a pretty good job of getting rid of the ball quickly. He was middle of the pack in terms of how long it took him to throw the ball, where he's usually towards the end. Jacksonville, he creeped his average back towards the back of the pack.
He was over 3 seconds, which is like 3 seconds is sort of the barometer for, man, if you're over 3 seconds, you are holding the ball long.
Now, this is the really encouraging thing if the Texans can get their offensive line together. And okay. I think they did some really good things that they can build on from week two. Among the 34 quarterbacks who have attempted 300 or more clean pocket passes since 2017, he's 11th with a 91.3 passing grade,
mm-hmm.
fourth with a passer rating of 115.1. So depending on what you want to look at it, he's been very good from a clean pocket.
I think, and that matches what you see with your eyes, when he has time to throw and he sets his feet and the,
yeah.
and he delivers the football, when that ball leaves his hand, I feel like good things are going to happen on the other end of that. He is very accurate. I think he's got underrated arm strength. I think he's really smart in terms of reading the field and going through progressions. If he just needs time.
Well, it's more because this is the part of his game that isn't smart yet. It's not because of a lack of intelligence. It's more because his mindset is so aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating. Dumping it off to a hot route, it's so easy, and he knows it's there. But he's thinking downfield. He's just always, that's the one little part. And he looked good at the beginning of the Jacksonville game. He was checking down. He was doing the efficient stuff. They only got a field goal out of it, but it was the right methodology. He just needs more of that. That it's, man, the one sack where he ran out of bounds for no gain, Gillespie was open, wide open across
yes.
the middle. Like, just take the easy money at that point. There yeah. have been a lot of times in the preseason and the regular season where that easy five-yard throw is there. He did it on a bootleg during the game, too. Early on, he's rolling out to his right, and the tight end who had been blocking in front of him, he releases out onto his route. So the guy that was blocking, the tight end was blocking, is in Deshaun's face. That's an easy throw to the tight end. Instead, he tried to thread the needle to DeAndre. And he didn't need to take that chance. He didn't. It was an incomplete pass.
All right. We've got an auction item out there. 2 seats at the 610 poker table at Wade Smith's charity event tomorrow night, Bulls and Blackjack. Seth Payne and Landry Locker will be at that table playing poker with you. You can win prizes for knocking them out of it.
Yep.
$500 for two of you to sit is the bid right now.
And have access to the VIP lounge, everything else.
Yeah.
Really good. $750 per ticket these were selling for. So this is a good price.
So
$500
good,
for two.
Good price. $500 for two tickets. And it's tax deductible. 832-430-2WIN. 832-430-2WIN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.